Hey, welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. And here's a question of the day. Did you know that J. Key, now you can see I'm a little stuck on that. Will J.K. Rowling's new book, The Casual Vacancy, be a success, or is it all hype? The answer from a branding point of view may astound you, but that's the question of the day. And if you're not sure who J.K. Rowling is, does Harry Potter mean anything to you? Give us a call at 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. We have our brand winner, a loser, our Did You Know That? And of course, my partner in crime, you, T.J. McCormick.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep.
Okay.
Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street on a mostly cloudy day in New Rochelle.
Hello there. So anyway, let me tell you, there's nothing nicer than to get positive feedback about the show. And two friends of ours who also works in the station, Dennis and Tony, I hope they're not going to get angry for me
divulging.
Thank
or diverging. You could make up a whole new word. Why not? It's a Thursday. Make up a word.
Now cut that out. Now listen, TJ.
Go on, buddy.
Okay. She was talking about how wonderful you and I sound on you sound
nice
on radio,
nice,
and that it comes across that we're friends,
really.
And she says, you know, you can tell in your banter and the way that you finish each other's sentences and you laugh at each other. You're having fun, and that we like each other, and that's really, really true.
Yes,
it's
not.
There's nothing. There's nothing like that. And part of it is our. May I say it? It's the A word. It's our age.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just, you know, when people are the same age, and I'll mention another comedian, and there'll be a footnote.
Right.
Now, you know, not that you would ever do, but another person would say, oh, yeah, hey, you know, and or, you know, so anyway, I that's the beauty of age that, that kind of stuff kind of rolls off my back, and I'm much more into relationships than I am cutting somebody's throat at this point in my life.
So
I haven't done that in most of my life, and I don't think I'm going to start doing that now. And anyway, this is Brand Talk. This is WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is John Tantillo, and I'm here with my dear friend, colleagues, and I should say bon vivant, and his name is T.J. McCormick, and you've seen him on the Fox News Channel. You've seen him on the Fox Business Channel. You've seen him on CNN, and he's got a local gig here in Westchester. What's his name? Richard French Live?
Yeah, Richard French Live. It's actually all around the tri-state area. Yeah, it's on the Regional News Network.
Regional News Network.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Our
weekly panelist. And I just want to say that I promise my dear listeners that we're going to get Tony Lobianco on the interview. And Tony should be very happy because for the last 3 weeks, I've been mentioning that he's going to be doing this play called The Little Flower from October 23rd until the 2nd at the DiCapo Opera Theater on 76th Street. But we just haven't been able to, get together. But if you're listening, Tony, we're going to get you on. Please forgive me, but it's been a crazy It's been a crazy 2 weeks. And the reason that it's been a crazy 2 weeks is I mentioned, TJ, that I am putting the finishing touches on my presentation to the New York Press Club, which is going to be this coming Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Kimmel Hall,
at
LaGuardia, at West 4th Street. Mm-hmm. You're all welcome to come by. And I'm going to be talking about personal branding to a very august group of journalists.
In September?
Yeah, this coming Saturday.
Wow, great.
A wise guy.
Get it? August?
August. Not that very. Oh, see, that completely went right by my
head. That's what I do, John.
Is that what you do?
That's what I do. I serve the needs of fans of puns around the world.
Okay, you punster, you. Anyway, 914-636-0110 is the line, and the show is Brand Talk, and we're here. And I have to do this to a dear friend who tonight, I just got this email, otherwise I would have moved heaven and earth to do this. He is being, his name is Jim Metzger, and he is being awarded, he's being given an award by the Alumni Association, the 2012 Alumni Awards Dinner, which is going to be at the Garden City Hotel at 6:30 tonight. I'm not going to be able to make it because I'm going to be here until 6, so it's something I'm going to miss, but I like to give a shout-out to my dear friend. And another person I want to give a shout out to, and I generally am not a birthday guy, but I have to do this because I've known this guy for 33 years.
Yeah.
We went to college together. His name is Joe Slakus.
Hey!
And and you know Joe.
Uh-huh.
And we've been on the strategy room together and on Fox, and he was on Hannity, I think, once or twice. And I think he's got a great political mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you a secret. Now, I don't know if TJ is going to really ever speak to me again, but he and I went to the seminary together in 1969. That's where we met. His birthday is actually today.
Right.
His party was yesterday. We had it at a great restaurant, SD26. Marissa and Tony May owns the place. It's a, I have to take you there. The quail is the best on the menu.
Nice.
I mean, the best in the city. It's a great menu piece. We got to go. You and I have to go there.
Okay.
And then afterwards, what we did is we went to a place called 230, which is a great like nightclub under the stars. Just a wonderful night.
Wow.
I'll have to take you and your lovely bride there.
Yeah.
And but anyway, the thing that I wanted to tell you is that when we had he had left and I had left the seminary various times, and I hadn't seen him until 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And where did I meet him? Now, you promised me you're not going to get upset. I met him at the 1980 Democratic Convention.
Ah.
And then it all began.
No, actually, I loved the 1980 Democratic Convention.
You were 13 at the time.
I just love what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And
that year.
And it was probably Kennedy mm-hmm. that cost Carter the election.
Right.
Despite, and nobody will tell you that, but that's really what happened.
Who were you there for, Kennedy or Carter?
That's a good question. I believe I was there for Carter.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about that now, huh?
Well, that's a whole different story. Let's not go into it.
Blissful ignorance.
Hey, yeah, that's when I got to the White House and I was able to do all those things, and it was fun time.
Yes.
I was at the White House. I had coffee at the White House, but I mean, I wasn't with the president, but I had coffee at the White House.
Jeez.
I was in the press room. That's not important. By the way, this is Brand Talk, WVOX, Tantillo and McCormick. Here on 1460 on your AM dial, and we're talking about birthdays. Happy birthday, Joe Slakus. So
nice.
Enough of the personal stuff. I think what we got to now do is try to get into some of these topics, like this J.K. Rowling situation.
Second most moneyed author in England.
And who's the first?
You want to take a guess?
Shakespeare.
No.
Wait a minute.
Very modern.
Very modern.
Very modern. Yeah. Number one selling author in England, the celebrity chef Jamie Cullum.
I did not know that.
That young kid.
Oh, Jamie, yes.
Jamie. Is it Jamie Cullum? Is it Jamie?
No, it's not Jamie. It's Jamie something or other.
Jamie.
Yes.
Whoever can think of it.
Give us a call.
Jamie. The guy always says pucker. Pucker. That's great. Like, yeah. Got a little bit of a list.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, healthy eating and all that. Yeah.
Right. Right. He did something with the school system, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, literally hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's great.
Interesting. You would think.
Right. Well,
go ahead. See,
well, you know, I know a little something about publishing. Mm-hmm. Thanks to my producer, Jonathan, who knows everything. As far as I'm concerned, he's a genius when it comes to publishing. And and as a result of Jonathan educating me to this, and if you folks are thinking about publishing a book, this does get to this J.K. Rowling's point that I want to make, so just stay with me and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a concept in journalism. When you go to a publisher, the question is, how many platforms do you have? And a platform is basically a target market that will be able to get your book the day after it's published.
Hmm.
In other words, how many people that are in your network or in your net or in your social, or as they like to say in publishing, in your, what did I say? In your platform.
In your platform.
In your platforms.
Right.
How are they in fact going to, how are you going to reach them, and how many books are going to be sold by that?
Okay.
And based on that, you get advances, and people decide whether or not they'll even publish your work.
Gotcha.
Okay. So a few months ago, I had met a dear friend of mine, former student of mine, and he had just gotten married to his significant other, and he wanted to, and they were adopting children.
Okay.
And he wanted to write a book on how gay people can, in fact, adopt children.
Okay.
And he said, what about, you know, you published the book. How do you do? I said, it's going to be very difficult. You mean you could self-publish it, but for you to get a publishing house to give you an advance, they're going to want to know about platforms.
Right.
In other words, how many people, you know. So if you have a television show, that's a platform.
Sure.
If you're a professor, that's a platform.
Gotcha.
And so when people come to me and say, John, I got this great idea for a book. How can I market it? Or how can I get it published? I say, well, you're going to have to market it yourself.
Right.
And so that's it becomes an enterprise in and of itself.
Gotcha.
And let's get back to J.K. Rowling and why I believe, from a branding perspective, she's got a very, very good shot. And that is, she's got many platforms, okay, or one giant platform, which is the mothers that bought these books for their children.
Right,
for
the Harry Potter books.
The Harry Potter books,
right.
As well as even the Harry Potter kids themselves, who are now adults.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and a lot of adults read those books too.
That's the point. It's crazy. So,
in other words,
this to me, now the only thing that could be bad is if it's a stinker of a book,
right.
And I just can't see how that could happen.
Yeah, apparently it's her take. It's her shot at the Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, and which she never read.
Apparently.
And she, right.
Apparently it's quite...
Right. Well, she's turned the nose up to that.
Mm.
She's not positioning the book like that.
No pun intended.
No, but the bada bing. Wise guy. So if you have an opinion on whether or not you would buy the book, or whether or not you think that this is all hype and you
And does it do... What do you think? Do you think it affects her brand? Could you imagine this huge selling children's author? Granted, she wasn't writing Charlotte's Web. She was writing stuff that had darkness to it. It had, you know, some dark forces in there. But anyway, What do you think it does to her brand as a children's, or is she, you know, or does it enhance her brand because she wants to leave that all behind? She wants to be known as an author, not necessarily a kid's author.
Yes.
You know?
That's 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Let me just say, I just don't think it will affect her brand negatively.
No.
I think literature and authors are a little bit different than
Judy
personality.
Bloom. Look at Judy Blume.
Okay.
Judy Blume wrote kids' books, especially girls tended to, when I was growing up, I remember girls reading. But Judy Blume wrote a bunch of children's books, especially for today what they call tweens, the tween ages,
yes.
9 to 12, you know.
Right.
And then she goes and she writes a couple of books later on. One was called Wifey.
Uh-huh.
That I remember my mom reading. I remember picking it up and just sort of thumbing through. Whoa!
And did it affect the brand?
It didn't. No.
That's what I'm saying. I think authors are a little bit different because the process is different. I mean, I think writing is much more cerebral and it's much more content oriented,
right.
And that's
it's not like Mr. Rogers doing something suggestive.
But you see. An author isn't I shouldn't say it because they are a personality, but they're a performance personality. And what I'm much like an athlete in the sense that if you write something that people like,
right,
you're right. It doesn't make any difference. I think the distinction is made more on the editor's side rather than on the people that read side.
Sure.
In other words, I think that readers, you know, and that segment of the population who are readers, if you have written in the past, they will at least give your first book a read as opposed to turning their nose up and say, oh, I'm sorry, this person is simply a non.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I do know that there is tension between nonfiction people and novelists.
Okay.
That they much like the difference between psychologists, clinical psychologists, and social psychologists.
I wonder which one resents which one more.
I'll tell you who. If you're a novelist, people who are novelists, they can't.
They couldn't care less.
It's
got to be the nonfiction.
Right.
The nonfiction has to just turn their nose
how
up.
Could you? I mean, how could you do that?
I just finished a three-part tome on Winston Churchill from Cradle to Grave, and you're going to make up something about the fairies in the forest?
No. Actually, it's the opposite. It's the novelists that feel that they are
the artist.
They're the artists. Mm-hmm. The novelist or the artist. And the nonfiction are how can you
I made up a whole bunch of stuff. Look what I created from whole cloth. You're going and you're collecting newspaper clippings on Winston Churchill.
Well, you're basically
interviewing people. I'm making it up. I'm the artist.
Yeah, you're basically a workman.
Interesting.
As opposed to me being the thinker. And Jonathan talks about this. I hope I'm not getting him angry at me for saying this, but Jonathan is not the only one that has said this to me. There's nothing better than to have your first novel published.
Okay.
I mean, look, even Hemingway. I mean, you know, Hemingway started as a newspaper man.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, he couldn't get and then as he was waiting to get one of his books published, then of course he became the maniac that we all know and love.
Right.
By the way, there's a great movie that I saw that I think it's on HBO or one of the about him and what was her name? Heidelman or Schillerman? His a gal that he served in the Spanish Civil War with, and it was his mistress.
Was it Liev Schreiber?
No, it wasn't. No. I can't. They had a wonderful relationship, but he was a needy guy and didn't want her.
Drunk.
And didn't want. Yeah,
he's an alcoholic. So I mean, you know.
I see.
And depression
yes,
mean, you know.
Yeah. And when she wanted to go back because she felt she was a war correspondent, right, or like to cover, you know, the foreign scene. He was very upset when she got an offer to do that, and he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. She wanted to do it, and she left them, and it was all of that. But anyway, so it's Ernest and Julia, something or other, and I can't remember her name. Mm-hmm. And if you look at if you probably Google Hemingway's mistress during the Spanish Civil War, her name will come up. Anyway, with that said, let's talk. Before I get into the winner and loser, I just want to tip my hat and remember the family of Andy Williams, even though he was a brand that I personally, he was not one of my favorites. It was, I think, more my parents' generation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still a great brand. And I guess
Christmas
no one.
Specials.
Yeah, it's Christmas. Nice. The Christmas special. But I never, see, when that was coming, I was a teenager. So right. Christmas specials, you know.
Yeah.
I just couldn't relate. I mean, I could relate to Sinatra because Sinatra was cool. Well, he was a little too
Sinatra
more of a
band, you know. Yeah, everybody wanted to be Sinatra. But how many people wanted to be Andy Williams?
Wait a minute. But the way he did Moon River, and I'm talking about Andy Williams.
Well,
that's
the way
it. You know, and
there was no other.
There was no other. I mean, that was a great interpretation.
That was his. You know, I left my heart in San Francisco. That was, you know, nobody else sings that. That's Tony Bennett's and
right.
Tony Bennett's alone.
That's
nobody
right.
Fly Me to the Moon. You know, nobody would have.
Yes.
For him, Moon River and also Christmas, speaking of Christmas, also, it's the most wonderful time of the year. That's,
yes.
That's, he does the only version of that.
That, right. No, I mean, for that, you know, and I had read somewhere that he wasn't doing well, and I just like to express my condolences to the family and think he was a wonderful brand, and may his soul rest in peace. So, anyway, something else. Oh, I'd like to get into this winner and loser.
Yes.
And, of course, you know how I feel about Apple, and I think that they have to be the winner of the week with this iPad 5.
Through the
roof.
It's crazy.
But you know what?
iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. iPhone 5. But you know what really, where they slip up? And, I mean, even, what's his name? Kalikowski. His partner there.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, yeah. You know. Anyway, he even complained that they screwed up on the charger. You got to get a new charger.
Why do you do that? It is so awful.
I know there must be a real reason. Okay.
Pure and simple money.
And that, yeah, well, you know.
Jerks.
I mean.
Bunch of jerks.
And so I like to say give it a provisional winner. And by the way, if you like to read this, if you go to the Marketing Doctor website and go to, that's marketingdoctor.tv, and you hit the blog, you can, and then you can subscribe to it each week, and we'd love to hear from you.
Really goes against their brand to do something like that, because the charger is almost as iconic as the phone and
right.
the iPad themselves,
yeah.
and the iPod, the III. The charger is almost as iconic, and it's the fact that it's interchangeable, the fact that as long as you know, oh, I got my charger there, you know you can charge any, and I'm not an Apple guy.
Right.
I'm not an Apple guy. I have an iPad.
Sure.
But my house is Apple because Andrea has an iPhone, and we both have iPads, and there's iPods all over the place. So, to me, I give them a, I think it's a big minus. I think it's a full grade,
right?
Full half a grade down. I give them a full A minus for this deal. I think that's an
right.
improvement detraction.
Right, but I mean, the demand. I mean, see, that's why it's so silly. And and by the way, the other thing that I kind of I've noticed is if this new fellow who is heads
Apple,
Tim Cook.
Uh-huh.
He looks like a central casting of Steve Jobs, like
right.
the jeans, and he's
yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah.
have that kind of, yeah. and it's and it reminds me of the and the of post Walt Disney when you were a little pup, maybe 1 or 2 years old, Walt Disney died, Mm-hmm. And the culture at Walt Disney, at Disney,
right.
was that, you know, what would Walt do?
Right.
Would he do this? And everything had the pull mm-hmm. of Disney.
Right.
And what would Walt do? Right. The Walt pull.
Right. And are you saying that's good or bad?
Well,
or are you,
I think it's good to begin with, but what has to happen is there's got to be this transition
right.
for the brand. And it happens with all brands that have such a strong leader. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my winner. And the loser is Chick-fil-A. And the reason why Chick-fil-A is a loser is that this week, they've done some positive things, they made some...
They stopped some funding relationships.
Yes.
I
think that they actually didn't stop. They actually didn't make people aware that they were doing these things. Uh-huh. And the other point that a friend of mine mentioned to me, my dear friend Cliff Wilson, who you know so
sure.
well,
mm-hmm.
Is that one of the things that they should have done
mm-hmm.
is that they should have talked about how much they contribute to autism research.
There
you go. And not only that, they have gluten-free ingredients, which makes it easier for autistic kids.
There you go.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this after the break. More
Perfect.
Brand talk in 2 minutes.
National news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissandra. Addressing the United Nations General Assembly today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warning world leaders they need to draw what he calls a red line with Iran.
We're in close consultations with the United States about this issue, about how to practically prevent Iran from moving ahead.
He claims Iran's months away from developing a nuclear weapon. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calling on the UN to recognize a Palestinian state.
We do not seek to delegitimize an existing state, that is Israel, but rather to assert the state that must be realized, that is Palestine.
Abbas, through a translator, also accusing Israeli settlers of attacking Palestinians over 500 times since the beginning of the year. Wall Street, the Dow gaining 72, the NASDAQ plus 43, the S&P adds 14. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Hi, this is meteorologist Steve Pelletieri. Look for cloudy weather for tonight, and periods of rain will develop. The rain will be heavy at times during the daytime on Friday. Overnight lows ranging to near 60. Periods of rain and drizzle on Friday. Friday's highs will range in the lower 70s, and there's a chance of an afternoon thunder shower with the rain. At night, the rain will taper off to occasional showers and nighttime lows in the mid-50s. Now look for Saturday is calling for a mix of clouds and sun with a chance of a shower or two. Highs in the upper 60s, partly sunny Sunday, also a 40% chance of a shower near 70. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
75 and cloud.
After a hard day at work, you can count on us for stress relief.
Every afternoon on the drive home.
We're right here with you. VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Yes, we are back here. John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, he's the Odola.
Yalla ho.
And this is Brand Talk here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And before the break, we were talking about Chick-fil-A being the loser.
Right.
And that one of the positive things that they have done, which they could have done in that controversy a few weeks ago with the... with the gay community, is they could have mentioned their work with autistic children, and the autistic community really loves their brand because they make foods. The ingredients they put in their foods are very, very helpful to autistic kids.
Right.
And they no one mentioned that
right.
from the organization. And this is a classic example of when you don't have what I would call a strategic marketing communications
team
or strategy as opposed to a team.
Right.
And generally speaking, it would, from what I see, and this is what happens when it's a family-owned business,
mm-hmm.
the family members control even the communications
right.
so that the communications people don't feel that they should say to the boss,
mm-hmm.
X, Y, this is what we should do,
right.
as opposed to in a corporate situation, the chief executive officer lets the corporate communications people basically have a relatively free hand mm-hmm. because they're professionals in this.
Right.
In other words, what happens in the small business model is I know everything.
Uh-huh.
Seldom right, never in doubt.
Right.
my favorite line. So, and that really is the transitional. I mean, and that's even with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Walt made a number of mistakes.
Right.
But no one would ever tell Walt or right. that what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so that what happens. And I'm not saying in a corporate America it's any better. It's just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some checks and balances. And there's a lot of screw-ups in corporate situations
right.
as well. But at least on the communications side, externally,
mm-hmm.
you don't have this kind of confusion in message, which we got. And that's mm-hmm. why I call them a loser. Although, as we discussed, it's a great brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, but I gotta do this again because I forgot to mention that that my event on Saturday at the New York Press Club is at Kimmel Hall, mm-hmm. which is LaGuardia and West 4th Street. So
right.
if you'd like to come. So it's at Kimmel Hall,
right.
New York University. Mm-hmm. And
it's this Saturday.
It's this coming Saturday.
Yeah, because earlier you said this coming Thursday.
I did not see. Well,
you see?
That's what happened.
I'm here.
I know you are.
I'm here for you.
I know you are.
This coming Saturday, Kimmel Hall, LaGuardia and West 4th.
That's right.
NYU.
8:30, you get a nice breakfast.
8:30, you get a nice breakfast.
You get a schmear.
You get a schmear and a bagel and a scramble and a thing. And
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Probably not a scramble.
Yeah, well, maybe not a scramble. And you might even see Tom Brokaw. Not only will you see John Tantillo.
Wow.
But you may even see Tom Brokaw.
Wow.
So who knows if that's one of the things you wanna do. And you know who's going to also be there? Our dear friend Ellis Henneken.
Oh,
so
really?
he's going to be making his little. Oh, yeah.
It's always nice to see Ellis Henneken.
Yeah. What cartoon character does he do?
I don't even. It is.
It is what it
it's
is.
It's a bit of an obscure.
Okay.
Cartoon.
All right. Okay.
But it's, you know.
Okay. All right.
It's still a credit.
All right. What did you think about this NFL referee situation?
I thought it was, look, you have the NFL, which is one of the stalwart brands in the entire universe. And the thing is they are, as branding goes, this is the sort of thing I would submit to you. It wouldn't be John. Are they a good brand? It'd be John. Just how perfect are they? Because they treat their brand with such kid gloves.
Then why the heck did they do this?
Well, here's the thing, though.
This is dumb.
Well, here's the thing, though. For such perfection, for such a class operation, golden shimmering diamond of a product that they have all around the world now, they have, when they mess up, John, they mess up big.
Oh,
for example,
dumb.
For example, not only this, but much worse, is they have been battling for quite some time with a lot of issues of when it comes to equipment and safety. And
yes.
There are former players who are showing early onset of dementia.
I agree.
And there is Parkinson's disease, and there is Alzheimer's, all of the above, brain injuries. there's paralysis, there's all of these things that are affecting former players. And these former players, in a lot of cases, are being left out in the cold and not looked after. So when the NFL, I think what it is the NFL is an amazing brand that knows its own press and is sometimes incredibly impressed with itself to the point that when they mess up huge because they're a bit holier than thou. And it takes a little bit of doing to get them to realize. And this was one of those times. They were actively sullying their own brand.
They certainly did.
For what amounts to so many nickels and dimes.
Right. You know, and I got to say, this is not foreign to a lot of very, what I would call, sophisticated financial types. Mm-hmm. And this is what I fight all the time when I talk about marketing and branding. It's not important until the mistake is made. And then when the mistake is made,
right.
What are we going to do?
Yeah,
what should we
that.
Do?
You've said that before.
It should
it's a fascinating
be,
thing. Yeah.
It just is so frustrating. And whether or not it was the Osborne computer where you had a genius mess up sales because he knew everything, to this sort of a situation where it's nickels and dimes.
Right.
And, of course, certain pundits saying, oh, it was a why should these people who only these referees who are multimillionaires themselves and be getting this kind of money and they only do 18 games a year and. You're missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
You're tarnishing your brand.
Right.
And that's what people don't understand. And, you know, when we are here at Brand Talk, that's exactly what we want to talk about. Don't do that.
Right.
You don't want to do those silly things that are going to hurt your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I sometimes say no to certain media appearances is because what I don't want to do is compromise my brand.
Right.
As I mentioned, a lot of people say, oh, what you should do is you should tape yourself on the internet and just post it. Just post it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I've been on Fox. I've been on MSNBC. I got a brand to protect. I just can't, do that. There has to be certain types of limits, or this has to be a certain quality that I allow out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't write something quickly without having somebody else or having me read it once. I just can't get things out there. And it's because of the JT brand.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing doctor has certain requisites. Okay.
Yeah.
Much like if you read the New York Times, you're not expecting there to be typos or the grammar to be off.
Right.
I mean, you're expecting it to be a certain way.
Absolutely.
And that's what we try to communicate in our own little way here.
Right.
At Brand Talk on WVOX, heard every Thursday from 5 to 6. WVOX, but how do you feel about the refs and the NFL? 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And I just thought that was a very, very, very silly thing to do. But hey, what do I know? Another thing that I just came across. And I'm being terrible today. I'm really promoting the hay out of myself. I just picked up U.S. News, and now it's called U.S. News. It used to be called U.S. Oh, it is U.S. News and World Report. The World Report was smaller because I guess U.S. News bought out the World Report brand. But anyway, they came out. An issue came out with the best colleges. And it gives you about 4,000 colleges and their rankings, along with some helpful tips. And since I'm doing my Go Brand Yourself lecture series on how to teach students how to get the job that they want, I think that you might want to go to the newsstand and and pick that up. But
yes,
so that's a little something to take a look at. But now it's time
to say goodbye.
Not to say goodbye, no, but to say it's time for
the song.
That's the song. But I was trying to.
Don't bring up the song unless I can sing it. Go ahead.
But it's your favorite. It's did you know
now
that
it's
segment?
Time for did you know that?
Okay, and wait.
That went from Mickey Mouse Club to Gregorian chant.
I know. Well, anyway, did you know that as well? Little known facts are brought center stage.
What? You know what? Wait. But let me see that. You know what? Next week, I'm going to do it next week.
I got
a funny idea for next week. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. For your delight, amazement, I say your continuing education. And now,
yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? Let's travel back to the 1950s and Cincinnati, Ohio. That's when Joseph McVicker, a new employee in his family's soap company, made a connection that changed millions of children's lives, maybe even yours. You see, Joseph McVicker's uncle had invented a wallpaper cleaner. It was great for removing dirt. But times were changing, sales flagged. There was simply less need for this once popular cleaning solution. One day, the young McVicker heard that local nursery school children were using the compound to make Christmas ornaments. The same qualities that made it a great wallpaper cleaner made it an irresistible toy for kids. McVicker improved the compound. He added colors and made it dry slower, but he kept the basics: flour, water, salt, boric acid, and silicone oil. He showed it off at toy conventions. Ads ran on Romper Room and Captain Kangaroo. Today, 95 million cans a year are sold in more than 75 countries worldwide. Kids still love it. Without one man's vision, a simple wallpaper cleaner would never have become Play-Doh. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
I love that.
Did you know that?
That one I picked up... Ho there!
Welcome as can be.
MICKEYMOUSE. Our engineers, Chuck and Nick, they are
Chuck
the best.
Chuck and Nick are absolutely
how wonderful they are.
Beyond description.
Oh, that's terrific.
How awesome are they?
They
are. God,
how awesome are they? They are so awesome.
Well, actually, we don't even know. No, Chuck and Nick will have those answers for us.
Okay.
Exactly how awesome they are.
Okay.
Especially Nick.
Okay. Yes. Nick always gives
Nick will come
us
in and
the,
say,
a very astute.
Yeah,
comment.
He'll come in and say, I can tell you exactly how cool I am. I won't go into it. I have a funny feeling it'll have nothing to do with his karaoke prowess. He specializes in a unique, he super serves a niche.
Yes.
When he goes to the karaoke, he specializes in a certain niche. I forget what it was, 80s or something or other. Anyway, so.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's something. Neil Diamond. But, I don't know.
Well, more to come.
Toto?
Next
is
week.
It Toto? Is it? He's a Steve Lukather aficionado. Anyway.
Well, what's interesting about,
yes,
about this Play-Doh,
yeah,
is that, and a lot of products go through this,
mm-hmm,
that there was a need, mm-hmm, and then. There's no more need for that particular product. So what do you do?
Right.
Your whole company,
yeah,
is based on this kind of soap that no one really uses,
right,
anymore.
Right.
And think about what happened when I was a graduate student. It was beginning to happen, and now it really did happen. And they really did some smart marketing here. Arm & Hammer baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't baking anymore. What the heck were you going to do if you were a baking soda company?
Right. Well, actually, yeah, I think people were baking, but rather all these mixes had come in.
That's
and
right.
So everything contained. Now you're adding eggs, water, and oil. Now that's what you're doing. You're adding eggs and water.
You don't need baking soda.
Right.
But the point was that they had to find other needs.
A use.
And what was the first one they used in the 1980s when I was coming up in graduate school?
Brush your teeth with
baking soda. Hmm. Would make them whiter.
And they put that. Then I guess they got a big old contract with one of them and with one of the toothpaste brands, and said now with baking soda and
toothpaste.
And it was that
for the brand extension.
There was that, and then also the whole idea that it removes odors from your fridge.
That is correct. That's the other.
To the extent that they even sold a package specifically for that use.
And I use them.
I use them too.
See that? And you put the little date on there for 3 months.
I'm wearing one right now.
I bet you are. So there you go. So TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, this is Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. 917-687-3900. We'd love to hear from you. But if you don't, just settle back and enjoy our conversation with all things branding. So that's Play-Doh, and a friend of mine mentioned
Play-Doh.
That came out when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and I was talking to my friend Frank, and he said it would be terrible after a while because your hands would be dirty and it would get dirty. But it was a great gift while it lasted.
I can't stand the stuff.
Oh, you can't stand
now that I'm a father.
Oh yeah,
with a 3.5-year-old. Who loves Play-Doh?
Uh-huh.
All over the place.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Well, you see...
This afternoon, I was scraping Play-Doh off the kitchen
Now, when
floor.
You were a kid, did you play with Play-Doh?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little
well,
bit.
Well, let me tell you, I know my mother, and I know Frank's mother.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you could only do Play-Doh in the kitchen.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It was at the kitchen table.
Right.
Not at the counters.
Still, John.
It was, you know. And it still gets all over the place.
I think except for the people who have the luxury of having like a playroom for their kids.
Right, right.
Other than that, if you don't have that room that's demarked for that.
Right.
Well, then that's
right.
it. Kitchen.
Right.
I think that's an American tradition.
Right.
Play-Doh in a kitchen. Oh, but. Oy vey, is that an annoying product?
Well, I just thought it was as a kid, I loved it.
I did like it. I mean, I liked I had the Play-Doh barbershop where you.
Yes.
See, that was interesting. That was when Play-Doh just went from being, making shapes and all that to all of a sudden now there's all these ancillary products, these toys and these pumps and cranks and things that would make shapes and you'd make spaghetti and all
right.
that, you know.
Yeah. Now, I get a lot of my information. I'm telling this. I'm telling the truth here, but one of the places I get a lot of my information from because I love the show, and I know some people have problems with the show, but I like Good Morning America. I really like that show. Mm. Okay, I know. I like it, and I get a lot of.
Well, you've been on it.
I have not been on it. Yes. I met a few of the folks. I know Sam Champion.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They're very dear.
Oh, I confused that for having been on it. Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
No, and I met Diane Sawyer. Who
I don't
was
like
a,
her. She needs to stop squinting.
Yeah.
Wait. Squint. That was what you said. That's what
and
my grandmother
she was a
would
Republican.
Say. That's what my grandmother
you would
say.
Love it.
What?
Yeah, she worked
no
for the,
way.
She worked for the Nixon
well,
administration.
She better stop doing what she's doing.
That's what I can't understand. She's a Republican.
Well, yeah, but who's paying her a bigger check now?
No,
now
all right, be nice. Be nice.
I mean, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I wanted to give my brand loser.
Oh, good. Yes, go ahead.
My brand loser is the free American media.
Uh-oh.
But here's the thing. And
uh-oh.
I say this as an American.
This is a warning.
I say this as an American. Yes, the views expressed in the next 45 seconds are not those of Dr. John Tantillo or WVOX 46. Here you go. This is not, I'm not saying this as the conservative American that I am.
Right.
I'm saying this as an American. the free press of the United States of America has abdicated its responsibility in the sense that for the last week, 15-16 days,
mm-hmm.
We had diplomats who were murdered. We've had the entire Middle East and other parts of the world on fire, and the administration has been allowed to play this narrative that it was all based on some obscure little 30-minute video. Some little video somewhere around the world where most of the places these people lived in, most of these Islamic countries don't even have access to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So this administration, on every level, has been playing out this, even to the extent that he was still doing it the other day at the UN. He still blamed the video.
Right.
To me, the American media is in such a sycophantic, wagon-circling, protect-the-president mode that they have not been doing their due diligence to find out what they knew and when they knew it, because now we know that the White House knew that it was a terrorist attack within hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they labeled it as such.
Right.
But nobody told the American people.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the American media. Now, I'm saying that as an American, not as a conservative. I'm an American who wants to know these things. When my diplomats are murdered, I want to know what's going on. And I think that they are protecting
this guy. But isn't it wonderful to know
mm-hmm.
that there is a news organization mm-hmm. like Fox?
Yes.
And there is conservative talk radio.
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh mm-hmm. and all those conservative talk,
sure.
Monica Crowley,
sure.
we can go on, that brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And when, and by the way, I don't think it's a cabal. I don't think it's a concerted effort.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more groupthink. I mean, I honestly believe. The party I was at yesterday,
yeah.
It's just they just think differently,
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing it intentionally
right.
as much as this to me is so much more important.
Yeah,
and I guess it's because I was in academia for so many years,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that. How liberal it was,
yeah.
and that's just the way it is, and
yeah.
that you know what to say, and you know not what to say. But when I was
right.
in academia, I was much more liberal than I am now,
okay?
Because I was in my 30s,
well, sure.
in my 30s, so it was very, very different. But
sure.
now, you know, just leave me alone,
right?
You know what I mean? Just leave me alone, and.
Uh-huh.
I think that's my approach these days. But anyway, but how do you feel about what TJ is talking about? 914-636-0110.
How right am I?
Has the media been derelict in their responsibilities reporting the news the way it should be, as opposed to the way people are maybe perceiving it? And I always had by the way, give us a call, 914-636-0110. You're listening to TJ McCormick, John Tantillo. It's Brand Talk here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. But I have always thought that it's very, very hard. You know, in my studies, there was a concept called participant observer in sociological terms.
Okay.
And that is when you would observe something
mm-hmm.
and yet be amongst in the middle of it,
okay.
it becomes very hard to be purely objective.
Gotcha.
And, as a scientist, okay,
mm-hmm.
and I guess as a journalist, the good news is that people are bringing this to the forefront,
mm-hmm.
and now people are in fact thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
and which is, I think, a good thing.
Right.
And the good news, as I said, is that there are outlets where you can get and that's why I listen to Fox, and I do listen to ABC, and I do MSNBC. I mean, MSNBC, I got to say. Is very hard for me.
They're just crazy over there.
I mean, it's just yeah. I mean, it's just it's. But what can I say? I appreciate what they're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't agree with it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just so It's just so opinionated.
Yep.
It's not.
It's not journalism. It's not. And it goes beyond.
They can say that about Fox as well.
No, that's not true. During the day, Fox News does hard news from 9 a.m. till about 4.
Right.
Until 5. And then there's more hard news. Than
right.
Then the rest of it's editorial.
Right.
MSNBC is editorial all day long.
Yeah. Well, you know, at yesterday's event, I basically apologized for introducing Joe to Fox News, and they all applauded.
Nah.
You know, but the point is, but that's the perception of Fox News.
Right.
And I had to proceed to tell the people at that event last night what a wonderful place Fox is to work.
And if they thought about it, what a wonderful place for a liberal to be, because you're going to be a big fish in a small pond.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But they don't
right.
think that way.
Right. That's right. That's right.
You know what I would give to be a liberal? With my connections at Fox? Oy vey, smear.
But anyway, so that's a little something about TJ's loser of the week.
Yes, forgive me. I totally
that's
interrupted.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do next?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Well, I'm going to say this anyway. Next week, we're going to talk about the best new restaurants in Westchester from Westchester Magazine.
I like that because I live in Westchester and I eat food.
Okay. Well, that's our show, folks. Listen to Brand Talk every Thursday from 5 to 6 on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick saying the difference between success and failure is never giving up. See you next week.